as will our next guest, Sushil Kumar, is a public information officer with the Small Business Administration's Office of Disaster Recovery and Resilience. He joins us now. Sushil, good morning. Welcome to Talk 107.3. How are you, man?
Good morning, sir. Thanks for the opportunity to be there with you.
Always appreciate the time. If we can prep for what we know is coming in Baton Rouge or in South Louisiana, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. There will always be another storm. So let's talk a little bit about, I tell you what, we're going to get into disaster recovery in a minute, but I think the first point of clarification, and we all, kind of all went through this with Ida, and we all went through it during the flood. The difference between FEMA and the SBA when it comes to our recovery.
We both are federal agencies that are requested in by GOSEP, the Governor's Office of Homelessness, after a disaster. And based on the threshold of damages that a parish or a state goes through, they can have both or just SBA. And so Ida, the scope of damages was so high as a state that GOSEP requested FEMA assistance. Mm-hmm. And then FEMA said, would you like SBA and individual assistance? The state said yes, and we both came in. The critical difference between FEMA and SBA.
Well, that's a heck of a time for his phone to drop out. Drop him on hold real quick. Sushil Kumar, public information officer for the SBA. His phone bottomed out at the exact worst time. Oh, my goodness gracious. The critical difference, the one thing you need to know. If you take away nothing else, take this. Crickets. Oh, man. I tell you what, I got his phone number over here. So that's him. All right, let's plug him right back in. Could not have been more ill-timed. Oh, that's funny. Just the way that played out. Sushil, you bottomed out at the exact wrong time. The last thing we heard you say was the most critical difference between FEMA and the SBA is.
And I was going to say, did the FEMA gods get upset with what I was about to say? Good God, no. I hope not.
That's good.
We have a long, rewarding career ahead of us.
All right.
But the critical difference is grants versus loans. Okay? Great.
All right.
And the presidential declaration, FEMA is the lead agency that requests applicants, or they're requested to register with FEMA. And then based on the way they answer the questionnaire, they're referred over to the SBA. Now, what does the referral mean? The way you answer the questionnaire that's in front of you, Brian, if you're registered, will determine whether or not FEMA keeps them to yourself or you're referred over to the SBA, where most of the recovery dollars come from. In Ida's case, 65% of all registrants came over to the SBA.
Is that due to need or due to timing? Because I can tell you from personal experience, once you go through a disaster, it's a lot quicker to go the SBA route, but you're not on the hook if you wait it out.
And here's the thing, all right, as the expression goes, grants were never intended to make a community whole. It's part of a larger framework. Mm-hmm. But let me give you an example of what Baton Rouge experienced back in 2016, which was horrific, right? Mm-hmm. I was working in the Lafayette Theater. The total unmet need created by the disaster was about $82,000. What is an unmet need for those folks who may not be aware of the term? It basically means that the disaster created a set of financial consequences that you didn't expect to have to meet. In that particular case, the number was $82,000. SBA's loan amount was $77,000 on average, and FEMA's grants were about $5,000.
So math works out.
So when folks are expecting FEMA to make you whole, FEMA never expects to make the community whole. They're expecting to do their fair share, which is in the form of grants. SBA does the rest of the work. So in other words, our Small Business Administration is not only for businesses of all sizes, but it's for renters and homeowners, and most private nonprofits, including places of worship.
We're talking with Sushil Kumar, public information officer for the U.S. Small Business Administration. Okay, so when it comes to those loans, I mean, I know it's a time of disaster. I know it's a time of emergency, but that word gets scary from time to time when you talk about borrowing money versus looking for help.
Indeed. And when we think of loans, we think of loans which are you know, bank type of financing, non-bank financing, which is even more expensive, or credit card financing. The average credit card interest rate is 19.8% fixed nationwide. People have no hesitancy using their credit cards. My interest rates, and I say mine, SBA's interest rates are as low as 2.375% fixed for a maximum 30 years for homeowners and renters. Most people can't afford it, should apply, find out what their options are, and if they don't qualify for an SBA loan, we refer them back to FEMA's other needs assistance. It's a critical path to go on the journey to recovery, right? Imagine three pots of money. Pot number one and three are FEMA, but you can't get to pot number three without going through the SBA and getting a denial letter. If you are approved, you're expected to use the funds to make your recovery whole. And here's the other part. Long after FEMA and SBA have left, when case managers or other folks wanted to come in with grants to help the community, one of the first questions they ask, Brian, did you apply for an SBA loan?
Yep.
And if the answer is no, no more grant funds for you. So we want to make sure that people make themselves, avail themselves to the process, go through it during these blue skies, make sure that they understand what the differences of the two are, and then make the necessary, take the necessary steps to go through it.
We're talking with Sushil Kumar from the SBA. Sushil, when it comes to SBA loans, what are some of the biggest questions, the most frequent questions you get during or after a disaster?
Literally, I'm not a business. Why do I need to apply?
That's true.
They, you know, they don't seem to understand that the largest source of funds is the SBA. Mm-hmm. We literally have applicants who are underinsured and uninsured because the program addresses both those components. Brian, if you're a homeowner, you're technically, as we speak, underinsured, okay? Because there is no insurance company that'll make you whole. Dollar for dollar, you don't get a full dollar. You get 80 cents, 70 cents, 90 cents, depending on your coverages. Mm-hmm. Guess who covers the deductibles? The SBA does, okay? And when it comes to businesses, you have up to a maximum $2 million to borrow for physical damages and for economic injury. A lot of businesses that stay closed for a period of time for various reasons, their employees didn't come, so on and so forth, how do they help meet payroll? Through us. You know, if you apply with us, your interest rate in today's disaster, if something were to happen today, it's 4% fixed. The average bank loan is prime plus, which is much higher, somewhere in the 8, plus another 1% or 2% if you're lucky. So there's a difference of about 6 percentage points in borrowing costs for businesses. When it comes to homeowners, we have 2.375% fixed. So we are the answer to a lot of the issues that face a community post-disaster. If you have insurance, God bless you. The shortage, we will cover. If you don't have insurance, your only likely path to recovery and prevent the community from going into blight is the SBA program.
We're talking with Sushil Kumar from the SBA about disaster recovery. Sushil, if I remember back to 2016, one of my biggest hurdles was the timing of everything and how long the process took on each level, whether that be my insurance, whether that be SBA, or whether that be FEMA. And just as a personal aside, I had my own home and a rental that I owned that were both flooded during 2016. So I went through every hoop possible during that year. Timing-wise, how long does everything take when you get the ball rolling?
Brian, start to finish, after we get a complete package, funding is usually within 3 to 4 weeks, okay? And if the, you know, on the business side, a tad bit longer, only because it tends to be a little bit more paperwork intensive. So a tad bit longer, 4 to 5 weeks perhaps there. But generally speaking, for renters and homeowners, if they have a, we have a complete package, we are in a position to fund fairly quickly. Now, a logical question that people come up with is, what is my loan amount? The loan amount is the amount of your damages. Well, Sushil, how do we assess what the damages were? We actually sent an appraiser out to assess the cost of the damages. My facade, my roof, my shingles, my living room, my tree fell, all those things an appraiser will take into account. And when the paperwork comes back to our underwriting department, they have a dollar value associated with the damages. Now, if you can repay that amount of damages over a maximum 30-year term at a fixed interest rate, for the most part, the loan is yours.
Let's talk about qualifications real quick.
I'm so glad you asked that question.
Yeah, credit score, background, that sort of thing.
Well, basically, if you pay your bills on time, most of the time the loan is yours, okay? It's all a matter of paying your bills on time. If you have back tax debt, if you're behind on your obligations currently, if you're unemployed, those things are things that you can address. And once you address them, and if we turn you down for those reasons, you have 6 months to appeal. Okay? Mm-hmm. So basically what we need to do is make sure that you take the time to fill out the application and see whether or not you qualify. If you qualify, you get the funds fairly quickly. If you don't qualify, you have appeal rights that you can write in and say that's the incorrect decision you pulled. For example, let me give you a person who had an 800 credit score, was turned down for credit, literally. Mm-hmm. And the person came in. What happened was the insurance company had not taken off the two damaged cars that was on her credit profile. So she was paying for, hypothetically, on four car notes, and that made her ineligible from a debt-to-income standpoint. So check your credit. Make sure all is in line before a hurricane, just in case, you know, it happens in Louisiana. As you very correctly said, it's not a matter of if, but when. You folks heard about the tornado that hit Texas last evening. I mean, devastating, right? If the numbers work out, perhaps we're there, perhaps FEMA's there. We don't know what the outcome's going to be, but they'll go through, Texas Department of Emergency Management will go through a survey, an assessment process, and depending on the scope of damages, we might be going there next.
I mean, you say 6 months to appeal, and all I'm hearing is 6 months of my entire family sleeping in the guest house of a friend or a guest room of a friend. Like, that, goodness gracious, it's such a tight spot to be in.
It absolutely is. And that's, you know, when we just talk about that in isolation, Brian, it sounds terrible.
Yeah.
But we pretty much just, you know, so Brian applied. Brian knows fairly quickly if he or she's turned down. If she's turned down in a presidential declaration, we refer you back to FEMA for the other needs assistance. So you're not necessarily, you know, on the couch or on the road or homeless. We make the decision as soon as possible, and it's not 6 months where we keep somebody waiting in any way, shape, or form. The decision is instantaneous, and people know where they stand. But if they choose to appeal while they're living somewhere else, perhaps FEMA's got a relocation assistance package, and I use the word perhaps. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's other resources. And this is the time to get prepared for those types of eventualities, right?
Yes, it is.
Because those types of eventualities do happen, unfortunately. I'm a veteran of 11 years and many, many disasters. And I can tell you, I had the most horrendous experience with one particular homeowner that lived out of her car for 6 weeks.
Goodness gracious.
6 weeks. And my heart went out there, and I said, what can I do to help out?
Yeah.
And, you know, she chose not to live in a hotel. She chose not to go into a shelter. And she said she was probably shocked and awed into probably one of the worst places one can be.
Yeah.
And so preparedness, you know, we grew up, I think I'm sure you've heard of this expression too, an ounce of prevention is better than a pound of cure.
Yes, it is.
So take the time to be prepared now, folks. You know, I'm a veteran of Louisiana. I used to live here a long time ago. Don't hate me for this, Brian. I was a Tulane graduate, but my brother-in-law, to make up for it, is the dean of graduate studies for LSU. So there's a lot of love for the Tigers in the family, so don't hate me for being a Tulanian.
Never.
I bleed black and gold. I love myself from Louisiana, and even though I live in California and work out of California, I'm never home. So please take the time to prepare. Baby steps. Check out your insurance policy for disclaimers. Check them for exclusions. Make sure you have the right coverages. Make sure you have an evacuation route. Check out the differences between FEMA and SBA. Take a look at it now. Our website is www.sba.gov/disaster-assistance. Take a look at it. And you know, it's better to be prepared and fail than not have a plan and fail, because, good God, the amount of time it takes to get back on your feet with that type of situation is horrific.
He is Sushil Kumar with the Small Business Administration. We always appreciate the time, man. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, sir, and take care and be safe. Drink lots of water.
Yes, that is well noted. Stay hydrated throughout this weekend.